Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, many times bad, and tell you why the bleep we played it. I am from Russia with Sean. This is License to Thomas and M. And we played...
Out of name. What is pleasure without pain? It ain't nothing more than an empty space. Give me everything, more nothing. Give me everything, more nothing at all. Everything, more nothing. Give me everything, more nothing at all.
007. Everything or nothing.
And just pretend in your head that I'm Dame Judi Dench.
It won't work. But...
No. Just no. Imagine... Are you Dame Judi Dench in the cat suit?
Damn it, that was going to be my joke. Damn it, you stole my joke. I was going to say, imagine I'm Dame Judi Dench covered in cat hair.
So, and at this point, seasonal tradition for us, we've covered a bunch.
Yeah, we have. When we set out on this podcast, we kind of like had things that we wanted to hit every season. I am always going to bring a Star Wars game and a Dragon Ball game. Thomas or Mesa, depending on who picks one, we're going to cover a Bond game. We have tried to cover a WWE or WWF game as often as possible. I think we missed one season on that.
I was going to say, we missed one.
We did a wrestling game, but didn't do, yeah, you know. So. We try to hit certain things every season, and this is our seasonal Bond game.
Yeah, our seasonal Brosnan Bond game.
Yeah, we've
now officially run out of, I think. Right?
Unless you count the disfigured melted wax version of himself in 007 Racing.
Yeah, that I was like, that's I think the last technically of that era. But
I forgot about that game.
007 Racing, just my mind was blank because 007 Racing, it's a game.
One of the games.
So, yeah, this is Everything or Nothing, and this was the third part in this trilogy of Brosnan and Bond games, basically.
And kind of the unofficial fifth Brosnan Bond story.
Because they brought back some of the writers that did the other ones, right?
Yes, actually, one of the three main writers on this game co-wrote GoldenEye, and I believe was the main official writer for the rest of the Brosnan Bonds. Mm. And then, as well as they brought back Pierce Brosnan, who does the voice work, Dame Judi Dench,
John Cleese
as Q, as Thomas made the joke when he started playing, hey, this is the most John Cleese we've gotten in any Pierce Brosnan Bond movie.
Yeah, because he's barely in Die Another Day, and in The World Is Not Enough, he's introduced as, like, R, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a good place to start is that we talked about this a bit with the last Bond game, that shedding the first-person shooter, especially of what was GoldenEye back in the day, to do Bond games, I think was a smart move, because everything when they did the first-person shooter was trying to be GoldenEye, and that is very hard to live up to.
I mean, and there's nothing really wrong with that. There's nothing I don't think like there's nothing wrong with wanting to be like a good game, a mm-hmm. great game even, I would argue.
But at times it would lose trying to be Bond and more just try to be GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Brosnan has other games because he has
mm-hmm.
Tomorrow Never Dies and The World Is Not Enough.
Oh, those got games?
Yeah.
Oh.
Brosnan got a game for every one of his movies except Die Another Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
which is why when you go to 007 Legends, Die Another Day is the Brosnan Bond they picked to be represented.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I really think that this really kind of puts a bow on the Brosnan Bond. This is kind of the end of that era. You know, a few years later, Daniel Craig would be cast, and the reboot of Bond would happen. And
just like every recasting in the modern day, everybody hated it. Anyways.
When it was announced, it's true. Yeah. But as far as an ending to an entire era of a character and of kind of what that era of Bond was, this is a really good end. This is a really good cap to that era.
This is a big send-off for Brosnan, basically. This mm-hmm. is effectively them going, Brosnan is done as Bond. We didn't know totally officially, but the writing was on the wall. So let's give him the biggest hell of a send-off we can. Bond wasn't intentional, but as soon as I said it, I was like, God damn it.
Way to call back to that one Bond song I don't like. Yeah. Anyways.
But I really, I think this game is the most complete Bond experience that we've played of the three. Nightfire was a really, really fun experience, especially for multiplayer. Agent Under Fire was a really good Bond experience, especially with the way the third person and the stealth and the way you felt like a spy. This game is all of it in like a pack, in a good package. You have all the gadgets that you want as Bond. You have the third person action, but you also have the car chases, the extreme action that the Pierce Brosnan Bond were known for, that you get to kind of reenact and feel like you're Bond a lot of the time, if you're good at the game. I'm not.
I think the best way to put it is Nightfire is a great first-person shooter. We've talked about how we think Agent Under Fire feels the most like playing Bond. Everything or Nothing feels the most like you're playing a Bond movie.
Yes.
A Brosnan Bond movie, especially.
Mm-hmm. It definitely feels that way. And I came away from this game. I think I played the least of all of us. I did play a good chunk when I could, but I think I played the least of it, but I watched these guys played. And the thing that I kept coming away from is just like, God damn, the production values are good in this. Like, yeah. This is the EA would really pour all the money in the world and said, this is everything or nothing here, guys. Let's see what we got.
So, nice drunk drowning. Okay.
I was hoping we could just let that one
live and let die.
We're back around in a circle. Ha!
But yeah, this feels most like, again, you're playing a Bond movie. It has the pacing of a Bond movie. A very action-heavy one, but hey, it's Brosnan Bond.
Mm-hmm. I'd say those are probably the most action... The Brosnan films are probably the most action-heavy Bond films.
I'd also argue License to Kill, but that's more because it feels more like an action movie than a Bond movie.
Yeah. But because of the way they utilize the voices, you know, Pierce Brosnan, John Cleese, and Dame Judi Dench all talking there, it feels like, oh, wow, I'm right in this universe. The third-person stuff, where you have all your gadgets, and then in the cars, where you're doing just crazy cool stuff, running away, picking things up. You're on a motorbike, you're in a tank, you're in your car, you're in a limo.
And that's not even to mention who they got for the main baddie in this.
William Dafoe was the main bad guy in this movie, and if there was ever one that I was like, damn, wish he was one in the movie, it's William Dafoe.
Yeah, it's a great
who is
cast member.
Who is the apprentice and friend to Max Zorin, Christopher Walken's character.
It's so good. Because this game really is dripping with Bond. Like, yes. the create from the writers being Bond writers, from getting the cast back, from all of the level designs and everything, this game from beginning to end is just like, hey, we love Bond. Do you love Bond? Cool. Here's Bond.
They even bring back Jaws.
Yeah. Including bringing back the actor as well for the likeness. And he was credited for the likeness. He would come back in a couple of other games, but wouldn't get credited.
Yeah. Oh, man. So... Yeah, if Richard Kiel's likeness was brought back, you fight Jaws a couple of times, once fist to fist, and then he's in a semi that you have to take down with a motorbike, because of course.
I am all in favor of more taking down semis with a motorbike.
And that's kind of something that I miss from the Bond movies, is just weird villains. Just weird bad guys.
If I may go on a Bond tangent, let me know. Craig's villains fucking suck.
They do.
Most of them suck. The only ones I like are LaChief from Casino Royale, who dies before the third act of the movie, basically. Mm-hmm. And I forget his name, but the dude from Skyfall's all right.
Javier Bardem's character. Yeah. Again, they got the weird and creepy vibe of a lot of the villains. Javier Bardem is weird and creepy. Le Chiffre, cries blood.
Rami Malek's,
yeah.
Yeah.
They all feel like the look of a Bond villain, but they all are, they're so concerned at times with being grounded into Earth and all these like very, very like, quote unquote, realistic stories, that sometimes that suffers the ridiculousness of Bond villains.
Because Green in Quantum of Solace is just generic dickhead businessman.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah. I always forget there's even a villain in Quantum of Solace.
You remember Quantum of Solace?
Blofeld. Christoph Waltz is a great casting for Blofeld, but he's not a good Blofeld.
Yeah, they don't give him anything to do in that movie. Yeah. My God. And
Rami Malek's character, good character, is in about 15 minutes, I think, of an almost 3-hour movie.
Yep.
So,
yeah. It's one of those things where one of the things that a long-running franchise needs, especially one that is rebooting itself so often like Bond, is you need to have villains to stick to. Like, for example, not the rebooting necessarily, but every Mission Impossible movie, even if the villain is not necessarily super memorable, they are in the movie and they are big and they are characters and things like that.
Yeah.
It's one of those that, like, the Bond villains maybe are memorable of the Craig, but they're not really good necessarily.
I don't remember the name of the guy from Ghost Protocol. I don't. But he's in the movie. He and Ethan have a big punch-up at the end.
Yeah.
He is a villain that's there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the guy that cuts off the head of the statue with the blade hat?
Oddjob?
Yeah. We need bad guys like Oddjob back. I like him.
I like how he's not even the main villain. But
no, he's not. He's like the henchman.
He's going to say he's the henchman. Goldfinger is the main villain.
Oh, yeah.
Because the movie's called
Goldfinger. Goldfinger, you know.
Oh, yeah. But I do agree. Just mm-hmm. more wacky henchmen. I prefer
the word quirky, but go ahead.
Anyways.
They
tried to do that with Batista in
mm-hmm.
Spectre, but who the fuck remembers anything about that character other than it was funny when he died because he didn't speak for the whole movie. And then when he died, he said his first and last line, which was, shit.
He was very good in that movie, but yeah, I agree. It's a nothing.
He's a big, muscly man, and the one gimmick he has is he has stone thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, neat. All right.
We're on this tangent, so we're going to continue on it. But Spectre as a movie, it actually might be my least favorite of the Daniel Craig Bonds, and that includes Quantum of Solace. It is also the one that tries so hard to be Bond, but never actually is Bond. Like, there's so many weird, quirky characters with stone thumbs. Bringing Blofeld in, doing all the Bond type stuff, but nothing about that movie feels like a Bond movie, and it's so frustrating.
That's Spectre, right? Is what we're talking. That's the one that made a brand new Aston Martin, completely original car for that movie, and I don't remember jack shit about it
because it doesn't do anything cool.
Yeah. It looks cool. I don't remember a goddamn thing about it.
They have a 5-minute bland race around Rome.
What a waste.
Anyway, back to the actual game.
The things that make this game so Bond heavy, 007 love, like, it has a really... The opening scene...
There's an opening sequence before the mm-hmm. title, which had been a thing
mm-hmm.
in a couple of Bond games, but again, in this one, Bond shoots a missile, blowing it up, steals a briefcase while in the middle of a big gunfight, and then takes out a VTOL jet with a rocket launcher.
And we have a pretty solid Bond theme to this game.
Yeah.
A good sequence. I really like the opening Bond theme.
The title sequence is great. The song itself is fine.
I don't think any of the songs, or even the sequences for that matter, hold a candle to the movie ones. But they're suitable substitutes. They fill the role fine.
Yeah, I do agree on that. But it very much feels Bond. And then you have a whole lot of just interesting, fun missions throughout the game. that are all feel just exactly what you would expect from a Bond movie. Mm-hmm. You know, specifically a Pierce Brosnan Bond movie, but even in general, just a Bond movie. And they never really slow down. And I think that's a good thing for this game. The game, you're constantly doing stuff, mm-hmm. unless you get lost. Which, well...
Yeah, I did a lot. It's mostly on me, because usually it was the simplest bullshit.
It was like, oh, right, I have a gadget for this, don't I?
Yeah, and I usually forgot I did. I'd be a terrible super spy anyway.
He was like, use this. You're like, I have that? Yes, we talked about it this morning. Oh, yeah.
They do give you, like, a shit ton of gadgets.
They though. Do. They were like, hey, we want to give you gadgets. Lots and lots of gadgets.
You know how Doom Guy is with guns? That's Bond with gadgets.
And guns. He has a lot of guns.
Yeah. The game is chock full of stuff. I think one of the interesting things about this game is it's developed by EA, who had the Bond license at the time, and they didn't just utilize their normal studio that was working on the game to make the third-person stuff. They actually delegated a bit of the game over to, I think, EA Redwood. No, EA Redwood's who was working on it. But it was the company that was doing Need for Speed at the time.
Yeah, and they handled the driving sections and basically the vehicle sections.
Which, yeah, they're really good.
They feel ripped right out of, like... kind of an odd pull, but they remind me of the Batman arcade game, the Batmobile arcade game.
A little bit, yeah.
It reminds me a lot of that, and man, it feels so good.
Good controls for the racing, you know, when you're in their car, when you're trying to go fast, when you're doing weird stunts like trying to get underneath a train. Mason failed at that a few times. Or trying to get your motorbike on a plane. I failed at that quite a few times. It's a lot of like fun missions with it that, you know, but with the control, you don't necessarily get frustrated at failing at them a ton, because I think the controls are really good, that it is enjoyable to play the level over and over again, even if you're failing.
Good game design is when you fuck up, you feel like, oh, that's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this
game is. And not, oh, the game did that, or this is a design flaw. This game is pretty well designed from top to bottom. Like, it's also really long. Like, for a third-person game like this, there is a lot of missions in this game.
For a third-person game on the GameCube.
That is mission-based.
Before Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
It was it's pretty long. It is a lengthy game.
Yeah, which is, I think, a good thing.
Some of the missions vary in length. Like, some are 15 minutes, some are 2. But...
I think it was funny. There was a mission, finished mission, saved, and then it was like, here's a video, here's a movie, watch that. Cool, save. What?
Yeah, so.
A lot of the saving points are a little, the loading points, rather, are a little weird.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, because of controller mishaps, we did not get to do this, but this game has two-player co-op mode.
Yeah, it has, really? It has a full co-op story mode, basically.
Yeah.
You don't play as Bond, but you play as, like, I think it's other 00s.
Oh, so it does, like, the Portal 2 thing.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Which is just so rad to me. Like, co-op Bond is just an awesome idea.
I played a little bit of it with my brother back in the day. It's pretty back in the day. Okay, like 5 years ago, but it's so cool.
Simpler times.
But it was pretty good. It was pretty sick.
Which is just a really good idea. You know, again, Bond is no stranger to multiplayer. GoldenEye is considered one of the greatest multiplayer games of all time. So, like,
yeah. Well, when you're basically the godfather of console shooters,
but very rarely is it co-op.
Yeah,
like, very rarely are you helping other people.
So. We didn't. That's true. Co-op and third person shooters wasn't. Like, it existed, and there were games, but a lot of times those games don't have co-op. Like, a lot of times, and so it's always cool that, and I know the GameCube had a lot of games that tried to do more co-op stuff, especially things like the Medal of Honor series and the Call of Duty series, both, I believe, on the GameCube had their co-op options, mm-hmm. As well as, you know, this game and a few others, things like that. Like, there are games trying to do that, and look, co-op is always good, especially when it's, you know, local co-op. Hey, developers, local co-op is a good thing. We like to play our games together.
Yes.
And, but that was really cool to see that was a feature on this, and, like, you know, Wouldn't surprise me if at some point down the line we try to play it again to do a co-op run with it, because this game is fun. It, you know, I don't think any of us were great at it. None of us are going to start becoming professional everything or nothing game players. But
look out for the official what the bleep sanctioned everything or nothing speed run.
Yeah.
7 years.
The long run.
The long run.
Slow run.
Is that a thing?
No.
Okay.
Because the slow run would be just move. All right, I'm going to go eat lunch.
I think one other thing that I, while going through and playing it, I think that I noted on this is I really appreciate that they went all out on the level designs.
Yes,
that is true.
That is something that it's not just like the environments or the soundtrack or the sound design. It's all of it put together, including like there was a scene in it where Bond needs to immediately get undercover and have cover over him, and they just blow the cover up. And I was like, that is actually really cool to see.
And that's in gameplay.
No two environments in this game look the same. Although bringing up that area though, there was one part of it that did kind of disappoint me because they said there's a tank behind you with a giant shark in it. And I wish you could somehow get the bad guys in the tank with the shark so it'd eat it. I think that'd be cool.
That would be a very Bond moment. So.
I like sharks.
And like did the Agent Under Fire also had kind of like the Bond moment things as well. Like
it did, yes.
Every game has.
Every has, okay.
Agent Under Fire,
Knife Fire did, yeah.
Everything or Nothing. And spoiler for Marshall with Love have Bond moments.
Which is a really cool idea. You know, doing a moment that would be very James Bond-esque and you get a reward. I like that.
Yeah. It lets you think how would Bond handle this.
Because every level, specifically the driving levels, have multiple ways you can go different things. You can do different things. You have shortcuts. You have different paths. You have ways to ramp off things, up things, and around things. This game is just really fun. Like I think that's the biggest thing to take away. It's a lot of fun to sit down and play. It's an interesting story. You know, it just feels very Bond every time you're like, oh, we got to stop this gangster or this, you know, foreign person with very thick Eastern European accent from doing bad things.
Yep. I will say it is a game. Yeah, you feel like Bond in this game. And I think one of my favorite examples of this is actually comes from later on in the game. We didn't get to this just from this playthrough because we wanted to record.
Mm-hmm.
But you get coin grenades. Grenade coins that are like double S grenades. You get like regular grenades, strobe grenades, and you get an EMP later on.
Mm.
So later on in the game, Bond gets trapped to a death machine because of course he does.
As always.
And
classic Bond.
Drilling. And it's drilling right into his torso. So as I'm playing the game for the first time, I'm like, what the hell do I do? Because they took away all your guns. They took away all your gadgets. They're like,
They expect you to die. That's what you do. Yeah.
And I did. So I died. So I reload. And I'm like, literally, what the hell do I do? I'm mashing every button. But the one thing they forgot to take away was the coins. So I'm like, oh, I flip EMP. It releases me. I get my shit and I beat the bad guys and get out of there. It's like, wow. That feels like Bond. That feels like it would be a Bond moment.
They've really found a way to just kind of make you feel that experience. And again, this isn't...
It makes you feel like
Bond. You know, we're singing a lot of praises of this game. It's not a perfect game. It's not even a perfect Bond game. It's probably not even as good as some of the others we played.
It's definitely that being not my favorite, said... To be fair.
I love so much about this game that, like, I would absolutely boot this up at any point and play it, you know? I may not be good at it, but this feels like a game, especially if I had played it back in, like, the early 2000s when, like, you know, the GameCube is fresh and new and you're playing all the game. Like, this feels like a game that I would have played on it back then. I said a lot of the driving levels at times felt very Spy Hunter-esque, which was a game I loved to play.
Right.
So especially the GameCube reboot that they had. So it's a really solid game that I think really deserves its flowers for how they went all out on the production design and said, hey, go be Bond.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm thinking, I was like, man, I don't think there's ever been a game that's done like so much that I like that I've found just okay.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot in this game, but in the end I'm just like it's good, it's okay. It's not great, but it's
I can get behind that. Again, I it was very well reviewed. You know, we're talking about a very strong review that this game had.
Like 6 or 7s, right?
I believe it was closer to 8s.
Man, that's crazy.
It was 84 on Metacritic. It has a few lower reviews, but we're talking like Electronic Gaming Monthly, 8.3, Eurogamer, 6. Famitsu gave it 34 out of 40. Game Informer, 8.5 out of 10. GameSpot, 8.8 out of 10. GameZone gave it a 9. On the GameCube version, a 9.2 for the PS2 version, and an 8.9 for the Xbox version. Nintendo Power gave it 4.5 stars.
It's interesting. You don't usually see the Xbox version being the lowest rated.
Yeah, and it was on this one. I wonder, again, if actually some of the control mechanics, I wonder which one they really developed for. I would guess it was probably developed mainly for the PlayStation 2, but I feel like a lot of those third-person PlayStation 2 games ported better over to the GameCube than they did over to the Xbox.
Yeah.
Again, the original Xbox, I love the original Xbox. I do really like the controller, black and white button aside, but that controller is built for first person, not necessarily for third person. And I think that's the big thing for it. It also sold ridiculously well, including it hit platinum status on the Xbox, which means selling 2 million copies.
Yeah, wow.
So it was GameSpot named it the best PlayStation game of February 2004. That's a weird thing just to
admit.
That's a very weird award.
Oh,
like.
Boy. My favorite game of March 2008. Like, what the fuck?
All right, we're gonna take a little trip and find out what games released, in 2008. So, in 2004, because I just want to know what possibly it could have lost to. Let's see, James Bond, Everything or Nothing, Red Dead Revolver, Def Jam Fight for New York. Prince of Persia, Warrior Within, Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door.
What are all these in February?
I think so. It said February 2004. This feels like too many for February.
I was going to say.
This feels like a lot, but... All right. Do they are? We're just going to see. That's just a lot. Those are all... Are those all 2004? I don't know. But regardless...
This is a weird...
Look, we find weird things to hyper focus on, and
that's
my hyper focus here is like, what else came out in February of 2004?
Yeah, no, fucking North America. Thousand Year Door was in October.
Okay, so yeah, I was like, that was 2004. IGN also named it the game of the month of 2004. So
at least that's more impressive than the PS2 game of the month.
I used to get a lot of the magazines. Did they used to like name games of the month? I don't remember that as a thing.
I clearly
have a blind spot here. Sorry, I'm clearly hyper focusing on this really weird moment in this, but it was well reviewed. It was well liked, and you can see it. You can see why. When you boot it up, it is very Bond. I do think some of it, we did have some controller mishaps early on, but also some of the saving UI is a little weird. Like, it's just a little...
Yeah.
Was that the game, or was that your fucked up controller?
Oh, the controller is why that issue. But I'm saying later on, some of the saving stuff is still, like, it's not as intuitive as it should be. Look, I'm nitpicking. Let me nitpick.
I'm aware, but I just had to ask.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be impartial here.
No, yes. I'm not talking about the.
No,
the...
I agree. There are. I don't. The saving is weird, but again, I'm talking about saving.
Yeah, again, we're not dying there. I also think your menu when you hit start and you go there is not the most intuitive. These are small nitpicks of a really good game. Like, if you want to tell me that this game is really good, because like I'm nitpicking the menu and the save.
See, Sean gets to nitpick the menu and stuff, and I get to nitpick the thing that I don't like about this game. I'm gonna get my head ripped off. I don't like the first car we drive.
Mason also doesn't like the tan suit.
Doesn't like.
Mine was gameplay stuff, at least like the video game. You're like, I don't like the car. The tan suit is not very cool. What?
I'm just saying.
If he's in a fucking desert. What the hell? Why would, one, the tan suit. He's in the fucking Sahara, basically.
All right, yeah, that's fair.
Why would he wear a black suit? He's going to get heat stroke.
Yeah, that, I guess that's
two, true. The van. He's in the fucking desert on the sands. What the hell? You're not going to give him a fucking convertible.
I mean, yeah, but at that point, just put him in a Jeep or something. I don't know.
Look, I want more games should let me drive minivans. This one doesn't, but I really think all games should let me drive mini. I want to be a spy in a minivan. I'm just thinking of just.
We've upgraded this Dodge Caravan. I would go ballistic.
Oh yeah, look, that would.
I would be.
Look,
so
I'm just telling. I'm just telling you right now. 9-year-old Sean, who thought the Dodge Caravan was the coolest car on the planet, that would have been right up my alley.
That would be the
yes. I know that every person who's listened to this who likes cars literally wants to. It's just like. Oh, dear God.
Oh, Mr. Bond, we've tricked out this PT Cruiser for you. Ah!
I mean, that would be kind of fun. That would be kind of fun.
You realize Bond blows up almost every car he gets. I don't think he really cares.
Yeah.
I do.
You're not Bond. None of us are Bond. This game has proved none of us would be.
No. I mean, I do like the flamethrowers coming out of the motorbike when you're driving along. That was the most Bond I felt.
That was the funniest thing is they explain why you can power slide so easily on the motorcycle. It's like we've balanced it so that it can go flat and then come back up really easily. And it's like, I'm okay. Again, this is nitpicking, but I'm like, I'm okay to assume Bond can just do that because he's a spy.
He can just accuse a slide.
I don't imagine that it's like, yeah, it would be like if instead of just saying Bond used the handbrake in the car levels, it's like we've included like this automatic e-brake that activates whenever you turn. It's like, I'm okay to assume Bond can just do that.
We've added an automatic grappling hook that grapples around every corner.
Some of a gameplay nitpick that exists as well. Some of like the RC cars and the spider levels when you have them walking, climbing, and doing stuff are a little tedious.
Finicky.
They aren't the best controlled in terms of it. Well, a game that is filled with great controls. They're just kind of eh. And again, I don't think they're bad, but also like anytime you come to something, you're like, oh, I have to use a spider. I have to use a RC car.
I mean, again, they're very small.
Parts. You don't use them very often. So like it's not a big complaint, but it is something that I was like, of the gameplay, that's probably the only thing I didn't really enjoy doing when I did. I do really like the combat. While you aren't required to do a whole lot of hand-to-hand combat, I really did like the hand-to-hand combat. On the GameCube, you're using the X and the Y button, which is a really good. Honestly, once I got used to it, I was like, oh, that's perfect for combat, the way I'm using, like, and then you could switch to gun quickly. You can do all those sort of things. There's where you got someone coming at you and you can counter them really easily, a la almost Assassin's Creed counter them. That if you're hammering that at people coming at you, you're just like, boom, 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 and you do it. There's cool moments where like you go into the gun and you follow the bullet and you kill someone, or you slow-mo when you counter someone, you throw them over. Like there's just some really cool cinematic feeling moments in this game. It's a lot of fun, even if I am bad at it. I embedded it.
Wow, we put playing a game that's on the podcast that's really fun, but we're bad at. Whoa, I don't think we've ever done that before. We have done that before.
Spoiler alert. But I don't think this is my favorite of the Bonds we've played. But I think again, so far of the three Bonds we played really good games.
We have.
So you can pick any of them to be your favorite of the three.
We continue that streak with 007 Racer.
Oh, I already found the worst one.
This is my personal favorite, but also because it is the one that feels the most like a Bond movie.
Mm-hmm. So. And it really embraces the Pierce Brosnan Bond.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is something that, you know, even at that time was not always done.
Look. Any critique I have for this game is pretty effectively balanced out when one of the animations is while you're walking and shooting, Bond can just one hand an assault rifle and just mow people down. That's fucking sick.
It's the coolest thing.
Yeah. You can grapple and you can shoot while grappling.
Yeah, you can shoot while grappling. Someone shooting behind you, you can turn around and shoot. Again, the game feels so much like a Bond movie.
The tank levels where you're just blowing stuff up, basically, and going through. But you can switch from your machine gun to your missiles seamlessly.
Where Bond just has a random woman driving a tank.
Yes.
He does that a lot.
Here, you drive. I don't have a license. You'll learn. It's like that one scene in is it F9? Where the hacker chick has to drive for the first time?
Yeah. F9.
Oh, F9. I erased most things about Fast 9 except John Cena.
That's fair.
I like that
movie. It's fine, but John Cena is head and shoulders the best part.
It's F9.
I'll beat you in the microphone.
F9 stick?
Okay, that was worse.
It was way worse.
It was. That's why I'm currently trying to think of something worse than beating you to death with your microphone.
That's fair. But yeah, I think in the end, I think we kind of rambled a bit here. We've kind of gone all over the place. But if you take away us rambling, oh, no, never happened.
Oh, shit, really?
But this game is fun. I think it controls well. Kudos to EA. I know this is still early 2000s EA when they seem to really care. EA
before they signed the deal with the devil.
Pale Moonlight.
No, they've already signed the deal with the devil. It just hasn't expired at this point. See, right, they're allowed to make good stuff back then. The devil helped them make good stuff, but then they hit a point, uh-oh, your deal's done.
Yikes.
Now it comes back in payment.
No, the deal's still going on because, like, we'll let you make good games. And then around the 2010s, we got to insert this thing called microtransactions, like a blood-stained, rusty knife into the open wound of gaming.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if microtransactions were a double creation.
That's 007, Everything or Nothing. It's a pretty fun game. And on this podcast, we ask two important questions of every game that we play. The first is, how does it hold up?
Again, I think it holds up really well.
It does hold up really well.
It is. I'm going to say, again, GameCube games more often had pretty good controls. Even with some of the issues, it wasn't until the Wii that we had a lot of issues with controls on the Nintendo platform. And you can go back another generation, you can go to the 64, and you have a lot of control problems. But honestly, that in-between, Nintendo got that.
Nintendo got the GameCube right, and then they went to the Wii, and it's like, what was that one meme where it's like, it's an old meme where it's the controllers, it's the Xbox controller, the PlayStation controller, and the Nintendo controllers. And it's like, Xbox, little changes, but it's fine. PlayStation, consistency is everything. Nintendo, crack.
Yeah. And like crack, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think crack's ever good, but...
All right,
Soldier Boy.
Of the things in this game, the controls are, I think, what holds up the best.
Yes.
Absolutely astounding controls. Legitimately, I played Nightfire on the Xbox, and obviously we played it all together on the Xbox. What system did we play Agent Under Fire? Was that PS2?
That was PS2, yeah.
All the systems.
Wow.
I think the GameCube controller really fits for playing and controlling Bond really well, especially in the third person. The racing levels hold up really well.
I think they probably hold up the best out of this whole game.
It's Need for Speed, and those 2000s Need for Speed games still rock.
Oh, yeah.
The third person stuff all really holds up really well. There's a few little things here and there. The environments hold up. Some of the cinematics don't necessarily always hold up, but that's also 2000s cinematics.
Right.
Big surprise. Basically, what I'm saying is this game holds up really well.
It does hold up really well. It's very singular in its design, I think. There isn't really another game like it that I can think of.
In that kind of blend. I mean, each element is... There's games, a lot of similar games to a lot of each of them.
No, I was going to be major dick and be like, yeah, From Russia with Love. But there's no game that plays like a Bond game.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it blends a lot of those good things to bring a lot of different types of games, genres, and feelings to make it really feel like a Bond movie. So I think it holds up really well.
I thought I was gonna feel like a real idiot, and you were gonna bring up like another game that actually does play like it. I was gonna be like, ah, damn.
I mean, Dead to Rights kind of plays like this, but it's less James Bond and more Max Payne there. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we all agree it holds up pretty well.
Yes.
Yeah. That's important there. Like this is fun. That's just.
A good game.
The second question we ask of every game that we play: would you like to see a remake or a reimagining in a modern setting?
I'm gonna hold off from answering first because I might have a hot take. Might.
I
might not be as hot as I think it is.
I would play a remake of this game. Absolutely, would play a remake of this game. Third, if you kept a lot of the same styles, but maybe a little more, mapped it to the modern controls, but still kept a lot of the same feel.
So, kind of what I want, and I've said this for Nightfire and Agent Under Fire, so I'm rounding it out. Just give me those three games. Agent Under Fire, Nightfire, Everything or Nothing. Don't remake them. I don't need them.
You just want like an HD remaster?
Yeah, like HD remaster collection, something.
Put them on consoles. Yeah, I would not. I don't necessarily need like a from the ground up remake. A remaster would be great, honestly. I would take I don't want just like if they were to remake it, I don't want just the same game just ported but in better graphics. I'd like them to try doing a few different things. But like, hey, if you're gonna bring back Willem Dafoe to do some to be the bad guy, I'd take it. But I think honestly, this game, because it holds up so well, I don't think it necessarily needs a remake.
I'm actually glad you gave the answer that you did, Thomas, because that was basically the same as mine.
Oh damn!
Yeah, yeah. It's just like if you throw them on modern storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Bond, I want new things.
I guess if they threw it on the Switch, you could have a GameCube-like controller. I don't know if this game plays on the PS2 and the Xbox. It got great reviews on both, so a lot of it. But I just really like the way the GameCube controller works for this. So, like, part of me would like them to at least work a little bit on how they map it to the new modern controllers. The PS5, Xbox controllers, how they would map it. I would like to see that. Again, there's not a whole lot of extra stuff you'd want to do, but would I like to see it a little bit upgrade? Would I like to see those cinematics brought out to more modern graphics? Yeah, I would, because I would enjoy seeing.
I'd honestly be fine if they did the SpongeBob SquarePants rehydrated thing, where they take the same audio files but just
upgrade it. Yeah,
upgrade the visuals.
So like, there's a lot that I think we could see from it if they wanted to, but I think I'm in agreement with both of you that legitimately just give us those three games in a remastered set.
Yeah. Not even like a complete. We're just throw them up
on the store. Maybe even add From Russia with Love if you want.
Yeah.
I just want a physical copy. I want a remaster where I can have all four.
You want James Bond 3D All Stars?
No, I mean, sure.
It's not what it would be called, but you know.
You know, you could even call it if you don't include Russia with Love, the Brosnan Collection. These three that aren't based on any of the movies. They're just kind of their own thing. These three games, put them all in there. The Brosnan Collection. I would love that. That would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be what I would want. But you could do anything, and I would be at least interested. That's I think the thing is like if they said, hey, we're gonna make a full scale remake. Hey, we're gonna take the name and we're gonna bring back Pierce Brosnan, but we're gonna do something entirely different. Okay, cool. I'm interested. I'd be interested.
Full Final Fantasy VII remake. Pierce Brosnan's Bond is going through the same motions and Sephiroth.
Oh, Lord.
Would play.
Played by Willem Dafoe.
So would I, but I'd be more interested in Final Fantasy in general and just all of a sudden Sephiroth got fucking shot by James Bond. Wouldn't do shit because it's a fucking anime villain, but it'd be funny.
Whenever Disney gets the rights to Bond.
He would be dual-wielding pistols. He would put them together. They would turn into a double-bladed sword that he would use, and it would be an epic fight.
I don't think.
Done.
I don't think Q's gadgets cover that much.
Why are we trying to turn 007 into an anime? Why are we doing this?
I'm not!
Why are we doing this?
Because Sean thinks everything's better as anime.
That is true. I actually, yes. But that's everything or nothing. Do you agree with me that anime Bond would be awesome? Let us know. Drop us an email. BleepYouPlaying@gmail.com. That's BleepYouPlaying@gmail.com.
Anime Bond would be great if it was less Final Fantasy and more like Black Lagoon or some shit.
Yeah. I would Bond piloting mechs. Oh, I want that. Anyway. I know at least one other person who would probably get behind Bond piloting mechs with me. Anyway, I've completely lost my train of thought because...
You were doing the outro.
If you like our stuff, why not subscribe to our YouTube? Go to our Patreon. We've got a couple tiers there. That'll be pretty sick.
You can make Mason eat a Whopper if you want.
Call the police.
But we'll be back with more gaming goodness. Mason's going to make us play another racing game.
Yeah.
Next time.